Hello again, you're listening to the News at 1 on Radio 1. First to those deaths on Mount Everest. Latest reports say as many as 15 people may have died in an avalanche on the mountain. It's the worst tragedy in the history of attempts to scale the summit. Several people are said to be injured and some are still missing. The dead and injured are said to be Nepalese. They were part of an advance party or parties. They're the people who go ahead to prepare the path for the foreign tourists who attempt to climb Everest. On the line is Dawson Stelfox, who in 1993 became the first Irishman to reach the summit of Everest. Dawson, we're hearing that this is the worst ever. Certainly the numbers would seem to suggest that this is the worst ever disaster on Everest.
Yes, it certainly seems like that, and certainly if they're still missing at this stage, you can only think that there's going to be more bad news to come from that, I'm afraid. This is an area which is notorious for accidents. It's the ice fall on the southern side. There's been, unfortunately, people killed, if not every year, most years going up through here, but this is certainly by far the worst single accident. And I suppose it's a terrible reminder of the risks that the Nepalese, the Sherpas in particular, put themselves to facilitate expeditions on the mountain.
So do we take it that these avalanches are in the main unpredictable and certainly unavoidable?
Well, they're certainly unpredictable. Avalanches can happen at any time of the day or night. They can be triggered by what's called Serac Falls, which are basically where ice cliffs on the glacier, which are moving with gravity effectively down the mountain, suddenly collapse, and that can trigger an avalanche. There's not an awful lot of detail yet as to what caused this particular one, but this particular area, I'd say it could either be a Serac Fall triggering an avalanche, or it could be just a heavy loaded snow slopes being triggered as well. A lot of avalanches. I mean, some avalanches are predictable, and we're getting better at predicting avalanches. But Serac Falls, cornice collapses, things like that are by their nature unpredictable, and therefore very difficult to avoid.
Right, and they're big and presumably very fast moving. You cannot get out of the way in time.
No. I mean, and say this particular area, it's a complex jumble of ice cliffs and roots through them. And there's really, an avalanche comes down in here, there's not really much in the way of escape, and you certainly can't outrun them.
Now, tell us about the role of these Nepalese, of the Sherpas, in acting as an advance party. What are they doing exactly?
Well, I mean, I suppose, since 1950s, 53, when Everest was first climbed, and even before that in the early attempts, Sherpas have moved from being, if you like, just porters on the mountain to being professional guides in their own right, highly skilled, highly qualified, and very experienced as well. So most expeditions to Everest now use teams of Nepalese Sherpas to set up the ropes and the ladders and things to get the Western parties up through the ice fall. So they very often they're the people who are in the advance party. They're putting in the ropes and the protection systems for everybody else, and therefore they're at the highest risk in many cases. They're the people leading the route out. And they've developed, as I say, into very skilled climbers. But and by Nepalese standards, they're well paid for doing that. But when accidents like this happen, it's a reminder of the very, very high cost, the very high risk that they're putting themselves to.
And we're gathered that a number of groups had been ahead of them today or yesterday, that there was no indication that they were in a special peril, let's say, in going on this mission.
No, it goes back to, I suppose, what I previously said, is that the nature of an avalanche, in particular Serac Falls, are unpredictable. There's many, I'd say there's a long history of deaths and injuries in the ice fall on Everest. It's a route that it's part of the route that people have to traverse up and down frequently during the course of an expedition. There's inevitably a high degree of risk in here, and there's been many examples of near misses and things in the past, but this is obviously in a different category in terms of the scale of it, the scale of the injuries.
And when something like this happens, are bodies recovered, Dawson?
That I suppose really all depends on the scale of the size of the avalanche. I mean, you can be talking about hundreds, thousands of tons of ice and snow here, and quite often bodies are not recovered, and certainly not recovered immediately. The nature of glaciers and things is that, you know, sometimes a bit like drownings, the dead are given up at some stage later, but it really just depends on the nature of the avalanche, and there's not an awful lot of information yet.
And when there is a tragedy like this, does everything stop for a time, or does business continue as usual?
Well, I suppose again, it'll certainly stop for a time. There will be a lot of respect and shock and there, and there's, you know, there will be almost certainly a memorial service held on the mountain there to respect that. But the momentum of Himalayan expeditions, Everest expeditions these days, the commercial expeditions, is that I would say, you know, within certainly a fairly short period of time, again, the Sherpas will be back and they'll be fixing ropes and the expeditions will be moving again. It's the nature of, I suppose, the large-scale commercial operation that Everest has become, that's inevitable, really.
Dawson, there we leave it. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon. That was Dawson Stelfox, who in 1993 became the first Irishman to successfully reach the summit of Mount Everest.